Amen. All right. Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome on back to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change a Bible. We are going to start off tonight by request from a brother. We're going to sing ourselves a hymn. Amen. Let's go ahead and get our hymnals. And we are going to turn to page. We're going to go ahead and say, we're going to go ahead and sing Jesus Saves. Jesus Saves. Amen. Let's go ahead and turn in our red hymnals to page. Here we have it. 281. 281. Amen. 281. And my wife can come on this other cool microphone and help out. Amen. 281. We're going to be singing Jesus Saves. Jesus Saves. We'll sing it a cappella tonight so we can have a good time of good old vocal fellowship. Amen. All right. 281. Let me just do one quick sound check. Make sure everything is working out okay. And I believe it should be working out okay. If we can get a double check on our sound. Seems to be going. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Jesus Saves. Okay, guys. On the one, can you do me a sound check there, wife?
Test, test, test.
Okay. Should be good. Okay. On the one. One, two, three, one. Ready? We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea. Echo back ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom. When the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. On the last. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Sing it out! Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All righty. Praise God. That was our little song of rejoicing today. Amen. As fellow born-again, Bible-believing Christians, we are thankful for today. Thankful to see you guys come to church. Thankful for those that are watching online. Thankful for a Savior. Amen. We got eternal life. We got forgiveness of sins. We have much to be thankful for. Amen. So tonight, we are going to take a break from our study through the book of Acts. We're going to have a topical message. And the title of tonight's message is called The Blessings of Being in Christ. The Blessings of Being in Christ. Announcements. Those of y'all who already know in-house, members of our church, address information online. Feel free to check it out anytime. We're going to go in and click on prayer. I'm not sure about you, but I need prayer. And you should be praying for somebody. 1 Timothy 2 tells us as Christians that we ought to pray for all men, the Bible says, for kings, for all that are in authority, that you and I may lead a quiet and peaceable life in the sight of God. Put a prayer request right there on the right-hand side of that screen. And if you don't know what to pray for right there, you have a list of things you can pray for. Amen. A current and future way to get connected. We have Soul Winning Saturdays. Lord willing, this coming Saturday, we will be out there in the streets preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world at around 4 p.m. And then thankfully, once I graduate my schooling from the welding, then we'll be going back out in the morning, door knocking, and also in the evening in the downtown area. Wednesday night Bible study fellowship, here we are. And then eventually, we will have a mission trip, amen? All right, next tab here, live stream. We are currently live streaming through YouTube, Periscope, and we are slowly but surely updating our podcasts. And again, I want to encourage you, if you have a smartphone, all you have to do is look up the podcasts on your phone. And then you will be asked to download the actual app called Podbean. It's for free, and you can subscribe to our channel, and you can have our future messages. And it's just a more convenient way to listen if you don't want to use up too much of your data watching a video and seeing my amazing curly hair. No? Okay, you can just hear my voice and hear the preaching. Amen. All right, there it is. And then that way you can tune in. Amen. Bible study tabs, resources, and helps. All of these ministries that we've posted, and we will be posting more. If you know of a great fellow Bible-based church out there that believes God's word and preaches it and teaches it rightly divided, let us know. We'll advertise. All these ministries are very helpful to help you as a Christian in learning the Bible. As you know, we don't have all the answers, neither do you. Somebody does, though. Somebody does that has been studying God's word for a long time, and these fellows have great wisdom to help you in your understanding of the history of your Bible and doctrine. And last but not least, we want to ask you, if you are a member of this church, hope you are, remain faithful, amen, as you're giving as unto the Lord, whatever you purpose on your heart, whatever that is. You can give online an offering, or you can do it in-house. We have the envelope and the box by the door. And last but not least, guys, if we go back to our home screen, we have our schedules. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Sunday school, 1 p.m., Sunday service, 1:45. Our current teachings are A Sure Foundation by Pastor James W. Knox. It's a great topical study for basic doctrine. We also have Sunday service going through the book of Romans, chapter number 8, and we also have online apologetics. If you want to learn how to defend your faith and have an answer towards them that are without or them that are contrary to you, we ask you that you would tune in so you can learn how to defend the Bible against Mormons, or learn what Mormons believe and teach. We will eventually be offering more of these classes online through Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and all the different religious denominations. We will be having teachings in the future once my school is finished and everything else like that. I'll be able to dedicate more hours in the Bible Baptist Barrio, my house. That's where I do all the podcasts. Amen. All right. All right. And we also want to have a quick moment of praising God before we get started. For those of you guys who know, I've been asking y'all for prayer for a long time, for my workplace and my school. And those of you guys who have been praying for me, I want to thank you once again. Your prayers and mine have been answered. The Lord has opened up a door for me. I officially have started working for an amazing company here in Carlsbad called Smart Earth Technologies. The engineering technician program paid off, praise God. My wife, praise the Lord, she's been going through a lot, and she just got accepted at another school site today. Praise the Lord. The principal specifically wanted her to go after she volunteered yesterday, talked about Jesus, shared her passion for the special ed population, and the principal said, I want you here. Took her by the hand. One phone call, boom. Today, you've been accepted. She's moving on. Amen. Praise God for her. We want to keep everybody else in prayer and rejoice. If anybody else has any praise reports, please come up here, share it with the church and the world of how good God is. Amen. All right. With that said, let's go ahead and get to it. It's a very small message tonight. Again, it's a topical message that I want to preach to you tonight. Nothing too crazy. Some of this will be material that you already know. Some of this will be material that you may not know, and mostly this material is you already know it, but you may not be doing it, hence I'm going to remind you. And then some of this for you guys would be like, hey, I'm doing this, praise the Lord. It's going to be an encouragement for you to continue in the good that you're doing. All right. With that said, hope you have your Bible. Let's get on this Bible Baptist train together as we depart from 1846 Dixie Street. Amen. I think that's the address. 1836. By the way, flyers. We have flyers. Please take them. We have stacks. Pack them in your purse and your car. Put them anywhere. Put them on people's cars. And when you're in the parking lot, just put them on people's carts when you're shopping. Just right there. Put them in their car. They'll be like, whoa, where'd they get this thing from? Just act normal. No, I'm just kidding. But on the back, we have a gospel track invitation. Please. We have a lot of flyers. We want to reach people for Jesus. Amen. How many of you guys want to see souls get saved? Amen. Tonight we're going to talk about that. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 16, and then we'll pray. We're going to start here. We're going to depart to 2 Timothy. Get on this train and don't phase out. Don't zone out. If you start getting tired, stand up. Do some jumping jacks. Do something to keep this body in subjection. Don't let the flesh be stronger than your spirit. Focus tonight. Let's do this together as a church. 2 Timothy 3:16, we'll pray. The Bible says here that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, God, for all those that faithfully came through the rain. Father, we thank you for the families here and those that are representing their families. Father, we pray for all of us tonight, God, that your Holy Ghost would help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear wonderful things from thy holy word, the Bible. Help us to focus. And we pray that tonight, whatever we learn from your holy word, the Scriptures, that it will profit us, it will instruct us to be right with you, God, and right with others. In the name of Jesus, amen. I start off with this verse to remind us tonight again, for those of you guys who are already plowing ahead for the Lord, yes, the Bible is good, it's profitable, it's preserved for doctrine, that is teaching. That is what we are hoping to do tonight, that we are teaching you the Bible. For reproof, if any one of us needs to be reproved for our acts or actions or thoughts, the Bible is good to do that. I'm just a vessel, you're just a vessel. If you see me in an error, use the Bible to reprove me. If I see you in an error, I will use the Bible to reprove you, because we know that this is God's word. He is the judge of all the earth, the Bible says. And if you receive that, you'll be blessed, because you will be instructed later on in what? Righteousness. The next thing is doctrine. I'm sorry, correction. Correction. If somebody has a misunderstanding about a thing about God, what they thought or what they felt, Bible will correct everything if you allow it to. And ultimately, again, instruction. We are here to be instructed by God himself, and he does that through the Bible. And all we are doing as brethren, men, as pastors and teachers that come behind a pulpit, is we are just allowing God, the Holy Spirit, to use us as vessels to vocalize what you already have in written form. That's all we're doing. You guys have the Bible. You have all the information before you. You don't really need to Google anything or really ask a pastor. I mean, all the answers are there. All we're doing is vocalizing to you what's already in written form to remind you and to be an encouragement. Amen. And then we gain experience and testimony so we can share with you real life. Man, this is what the Lord did for me, and I'm going to share that with you also. And then let's go to our next verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Brother Kwame loves to quote this verse a lot, and I do as well when we are out there soul winning, or when I'm witnessing the people in my workplace or on the streets. There's only one way that this Bible is going to work for you tonight. There's only one way that this Bible is going to work for any Christian hearing my voice in the future. Paul the Apostle, inspired by God's Spirit, writes to the Thessalonians in verse number 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men. It's possible for you and I to receive words from men. I mean, you have words all the time with men, mankind, your fellow human being. If you're married, your spouse, your coworkers, your neighbors, you talk to people, and it's easy to believe somebody telling you anything about life. But when it comes to the Bible, sometimes a lot of Christians have a hard time believing the Bible, although it's the Word of God. Let me tell you what happens when you do either one. You believe it or you don't believe it. But as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The Bible says that it will have its effect in your life and in my life if we believe that it really is the Word of God. If you doubt your Bible, it ain't going to effectually work in your life. We as the King James Bible believing church, we know where God inspired his word. We know where he's preserved it. We don't doubt our Bible. We don't have to worry about verses missing, words altered, words modified, books questioned. We don't rely on scholarship. We want to trust that God's word is, in fact, what does it say? Truth. When you, in your heart, respond to it, believing it, God says he's going to effectually work in your life. So remember, it's inspired, it's preserved, and it's profitable to instruct you, and that's what's going to happen when you believe it. Now, what about the blessings of being in Christ? Will the Bible work for an unbeliever? Not until they believe. The promises are for them that are saved. In other words, the application of the Bible, not just from an intellectual perspective, but a real-time, real relationship with the real God, is only for you once you receive Christ. Once you believe in him, then God will become your God. He'll become your Father, and he'll open up all this blessing to you personally. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, that is the believer, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's a blessing of being in Christ. If you are here tonight and you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you know what God says? He counts you blessed. And he has blessed you with all spiritual blessings. Don't look to the outward. Don't look to your financial circumstance. Don't look to your material substance. It's not going to endure. Jesus taught us that. We know that. He tells us not to labor for things which perish, where moth corrupts, rust destroys, and a thief can come in and steal. He tells you to labor for that which endures unto everlasting life. In that everlasting life, you know what you got? Spiritual blessings. That's a blessing. That's why I like being a Christian. Because I know where I'm going when I die, and I know what I have coming to me when I die. On the earth, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. For all I know, my boss can fire me. My folks can kick me out. My bank may say, we want the car back. I don't know what could happen. The Lord said, don't even worry about tomorrow. Sufficient is the day of the evil thereof. Don't worry about tomorrow. But you know what? If I trust God, I believe the Bible, I know it's profitable, it will effectually work in my heart when I believe it, I know that I have spiritual blessings coming to me. Not only physically, I'll show you that in a little bit, but right now, present tense, I have this available. So here's the first blessing that I would like to point out in our study tonight of being in Christ. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Acts chapter number 26. Acts 26. This is the first blessing that I would like to share with you guys tonight in regards to being a Christian. Acts 26, verse number 18. Paul the Apostle is rehearsing his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus to persecute believers, and this is what Jesus told him. Now, you don't see that in Acts 9. You're going to see this later. Because God will progressively reveal truth later in the scriptures. That's what you got to study. You want to find out what happened here. He may reveal a little bit more of a thing he did in an earlier part of time. So Paul is testifying before the council, and this is what Jesus told him to do. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. When we were not a Christian, we were in darkness. That's what the Bible says. No light, we were in darkness. The idea is for us to turn to the light, which is Jesus, and I'll show you that later. From the power of Satan unto God. That's right, you read it right. You and I were under the power of Satan. Satanas, the evil one. That's who our God was, and I'll show you that also from the Bible. If you are not a born-again Christian tonight, Bible says that you are still in darkness under the power of Satan. But you could be free. and I will show you also from the Bible how that's so. That they may receive forgiveness of sins. That's the first blessing. Being in Christ, becoming a born-again Christian, the good news is you don't have to worry about what's going to happen to you once you die. The opportunity and the offer for all your sins to be forgiven is available if you come to the light. The second thing we'll talk about is inheritance. An inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Jesus not only wants to offer you full pardon of every evil act you've ever done or even any evil thought you've ever thunk, if that's a word. He also wants to give you something. He wants to give you stuff that belongs to him. That's called the inheritance. I don't know about you guys, but on this earth, you and I may not have a lot of inheritance. Your parents may or may not be rich or poor. You may or may not have a house. You may or may not have much material substance, but there's a God in heaven today who created all things, and he says, if you come to my son Jesus, receive this love that I have for you, I'm going to give you everything. And I'll show you that from the Bible. He wants to bless you and I with an inheritance, something that you didn't have before. That's a good thing. That's a blessing, amen. Turn your Bible to Romans chapter number 5. Next stop, Romans 5. A part of that blessing of being in Christ, understanding forgiveness of your sins, is this truth that we're going to read here in Romans 5, starting in verse number 8. Romans 5, verse number 8. The Bible says here, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So yes, if you are still a sinner, if you're an unbeliever, God loves you. That's what he did for you and for me. Before you became a Christian, God commended his love toward you. Much more than being now justified by his blood, once you believe in Jesus, you have faith in him, that blood payment that was on that cross shed for you, you'll be justified. We shall be saved from wrath through him. That's a blessing in Christ. You and I no longer have to worry about the wrath of the Almighty God being poured out upon your soul when you die. You don't have to worry about standing before God's judgment throne one day to give an account for your soul to go into a hell like a fire. You and I can be saved right now from the wrath of God if you trust in Jesus Christ. For if when we were enemies, not only were you in the power of darkness, not only were we under the power of Satan, God says you were his enemy. We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more than being reconciled, it's a present tense now, if you are in Christ, we shall be saved by his life. That's why my salvation doesn't depend upon my life. Your salvation doesn't depend upon your life. Our salvation depends upon his life. And because he rose from the dead, he's alive forevermore. Never to taste death again, the Bible says. You know what's going to happen? You die. You'll be living with him for life everlasting. Your body will be resurrected just like his body. You're never going to have to taste death again. That's a great thing, and we're going to call that the resurrection, the glorification, the rapture of the church. You're going to have everlasting life. And not only so, praise the Lord, keep going. But we also joy. Anybody have joy tonight? We also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So Jesus Christ on that cross offered his blood to the Father as that atoning sacrifice. We know that the Bible tells us way a long time ago in Leviticus that the life is in the blood and that there is no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. Jesus shed his blood to offer remission for your sins, full forgiveness. The Father looked from heaven and said, that's perfect blood down there. I'm going to accept that. So God's wrath can rightfully be turned from you and I if we receive this gift. The second thing we'll talk about, the second blessing, is inheritance. That's what the Lord said, right? He said forgiveness of sins and an inheritance for them which are sanctified by faith in me. Inheritance. Let's go to Ephesians 1. Go back there to Ephesians chapter 1. And my lovely wife can maybe also bless me physically with a cup of water. How about that? Amen. How many of you guys are thankful for wives? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. Ephesians 1:11. If you are in Christ, if you've become a born-again Christian, you heard about Jesus, I don't care from who, on the television, on the radio, that nagging coworker named Brother Carlos telling you about God all the time. You have all these blessings. Thank you. The Bible says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Now look at that verse, a second word, in whom. Not in what, but in whom, in an individual, in Jesus. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. It was according to the Father's plan to bless you with an inheritance by the righteousness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5, same book. Just go to the right. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll read in verse number 5. We are going to discuss now, in regards to that inheritance, what could possibly affect yours and mine. So yes, blessings, heavenly places, forgiveness of sins, inheritance, that's good. But wait a second. How are you going to earn that? How are you going to receive that on the day of judgment that's going to come for us? I'm just going to highlight this for you in regards to what you're going to be inheriting, but we will come back to this in a little bit. But I just want to show you, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So what do we have an inheritance in? The kingdom of Christ and of God. I just want to show you that verse to let you know that's where the kingdom is and of whom it's from. Jesus and the Father. Okay? We'll come back though. Don't worry. We'll explain that in a little bit. Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. This is what the Christian is blessed with. Amen. Inheritance. Colossians 1, verse 12. The Bible says, giving thanks unto the Father, amen, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Now look at that last two words, in light. What do we talk about? That light. You got to receive that light. The light of Jesus, amen. You're in darkness. It's only in the light of Jesus that you'll have this inheritance. Same book, Colossians, just go to chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse number 24. Colossians 3, verse 24. Again, the Bible says in verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. The Lord himself is going to personally reward you, and that is what's going to be your inheritance. So yes, we'll get back to how our inheritance is affected, and that's hopefully all of us will be challenged tonight, including myself, about what can affect that. But just know that inheritance is your reward, what the Lord is going to reward you for. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse number 4. The Bible says that we have an inheritance that is incorruptible. Your inheritance on the earth is corruptible. You will die one day. You ain't going to enjoy that thing forever. That car, whatever you got, your great-great-granddaddies have all passed away. It's corrupting. But you know what you have of Jesus? That inheritance will never corrupt. You'll always have it. Undefiled. It's not dirty. It's not evil. It's not tainted with pride and ego. It's pure. And that fadeth not away. It will always remain. It is reserved where, though, church? In heaven. for you. Praise God. That's a blessing. In Revelation 21, remember how we talked about inheriting all things? Here's that verse that I was referring to. The Bible says in Revelation 21, we know that the Lord is going to create a new heaven and new earth. We talked about that last Sunday at church. John the Apostle is in this heavenly vision, seeing the future Jerusalem that the Father is going to prepare for Jesus and for us to live in. The Bible says here in verse number 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's what you're looking forward to, church. You're looking for this new heaven and this new earth. You're looking forward to this new Jerusalem that's going to be prepared of the Father for Jesus, for our abode, our habitation. But all that comes at a cost. And the cost is what you and I value is worthy of our loyalty, our allegiance, and our obedience today, every moment you wake up. Who are you going to be loving more today, the world or God? Who are you going to be obeying more, your feelings or the Spirit of God? I'm going to show you now. Does the question, does or how our life on this earth, our lifestyle, will that affect your inheritance? Does the way we live right now on this earth have any effect on the eternal weight of glory to be received one day? Instead of saying, brother, what do you think about it? Or sister, what do you say about it? Or Googling or YouTubing any apostle or prophet you want to try to listen to from Africa to Mexico, why don't we just go to the book that God gave you so that way you can be instructed in righteousness? Can I get an amen? Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I know we're going here and there, but just like the scripture says, here a little, there a little. Amen. Anybody out there? Anyone? Here a little, there a little. 1 Corinthians 6. I'm going to read you verse number 9. The Bible says, know ye not, so you should know. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators. If you claim to be a Christian and you're living in a relationship with a man or a woman and you are not married, you're a fornicator. Until you stop, repent, and get right with God, your inheritance will be affected. Idolaters, we talked about that. If you still have idolatrous thoughts in your heart or practices, you have a little statue, a little picture, a little thing you idolize, God says that thing's going to affect your inheritance. No adulterers. You cheat on your wife, you cheat on your husband. Maybe you have sex with a married individual and you yourself aren't married. That is going to affect your inheritance. Effeminate. Who's a man here? Raise your hand if you're a man. Don't act like a girl. God says that's going to affect your marriage, your inheritance. Effeminate. That's a biblical doctrine. It's time for men to be men and women to be women. Not trying to act like a girl. And yes, I'm calling out Christian men who do that. Even if they're actors. I mean, the famous one that I can think of is that, what's his name? He made a movie, black man by the name of Tyler Perry. Effeminate. That fool is in disobedience. All these men that want to act like a girl. God warned not only the Jews in that Old Testament to not put the raiment on of a woman. The woman don't dress like a man. He even tells it to the new Christian, Testament Christian. Don't be effeminate. That's what's going to affect your inheritance. Praise God. Be a man, all right? Talk like a man. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's horrible. That'll affect your inheritance. Nor thieves. You keep stealing. Covetous. We know that the Lord said in Ephesians, covetousness, which is idolatry, the two mix. What about drunkards? You still keep drinking that alcohol, huh? You still keep trying to justify it because you think Jesus drank, hung out with everybody at the wedding, having a good time. That's a foolish thought. For you to think that God himself will be consumed with a fermented piece of garbage that a man invented in order to get himself a little unsober for the feeling and the high. The first man that got drunk, you know what happened to that fella? He got naked. Noah. Bible says his son uncovered his nakedness, and that was a shameful thing. Proverbs 23 warns you about looking at alcohol when it ferments in the cup. Bible says that that thing will sting you like a serpent. Your judgment will be altered when you consume alcohol. Don't do it. Revilers, extortioners shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, present tense, you're sanctified, present tense, you're justified by the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. So knowing now God describing sinners, of which you and I are, and the lifestyles that sinners live, which you and I did, hopefully you're not anymore, that could affect your inheritance. Inheritance, your reward. Let's go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Galatians 5, and we'll go down all the way here to verse number 21. The Bible says here, as it ends the list of the works of the flesh, you can go back and read it on your own time. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So things like that. Hey man, you ain't got no excuse, all right? Of the which I tell you before, like Paul, he told all these Christians the same thing over and over. That they, notice how it doesn't say the unrighteous. It's they, you and I, anybody, which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Again, it's not speaking about your salvation because you're sanctified by faith in the blood of Christ. It's talking about your inheritance, your reward. If you call yourself a Christian, you keep living like that, man, you're going to lose out. The Lord is going to check you one day. Get that thing right with the Lord, amen? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And we're going to read down here in verse number 7. Verse number 7 is the theme for tonight. The question is if we're going to walk by what we think, what we feel, or are we going to walk by faith? Walking by faith is not praying and waiting for a sensation from the Holy Ghost in your bosom. It's not waiting upon some prophet or apostle to call you from some other foreign country to tell you, God has told me this will for your life. No, no, no. You know what I'm talking about. Walking by faith is obeying that book. He already gave you everything you need to know. Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing that by the what? Word of God. So move with me now, with now this whole theme in your mind. We're walking by faith. If I believe God's word, it's effectually going to work. If I'm going to submit myself to it, the Bible says it's going to instruct me. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, Paul says, if I'm here with you in the flesh or if I'm absent, I'm dead, but alive in the Spirit, and I'm with the Lord in heaven, we labor that we may be accepted of Him. How about that, church? You ever think about that? Being accepted of Jesus. I know a lot of our Christian doctrine brethren from all around the churches. Have you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart? Have you accepted Jesus Christ in your heart? No, no, we should not say accepted. We should say, have you received? The question is, has He accepted you? Is He going to accept you the way that He already laid out for you in Scripture, how you're living, how you ought to live? On that day when you face Him, is He going to say, man, good job, son, or son, I'm ashamed of you. This is what you were doing all that time. You wasted. Look at how I could have used you. I don't know how the Lord is going to deal with all believers throughout time. You know what Paul says, though? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So you know how the Holy Ghost warned you and I that if people do such things, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God? The Lord is going to judge you one day, and based upon what you've done, be it good, be it bad, he's going to try your works through this fire, and the end result is going to give you the indication. It's like a test result. How many of you guys take tests for work or school? Man, what was my score? What's the teacher going to measure me by, the standard that is the right answers? The Lord gave you the book. He already gave you the answers. The question is, the score that's going to come out for you is going to be on that judgment seat of Christ. Question? Yes. A beating? No, no beating. No, we're not going to get beat by Jesus. We're going to get our works are going to be judged, not our physical body. It's on the earth. And then you die spiritually, and then it's glorified. The Lord's going to rapture your body. And then at some point, we're going to be standing before this judgment seat of Christ. That's up to debate. We don't know the judgment seat of Christ. People say it's during the seven-year tribulation. Like, while the 7 years is going on the earth, that's when the Lord is going to judge believers. The Lord could judge you on the spot. I don't know. I'm just telling you that's what's going to happen. But you're going to be judged for your works. Yeah, you're not going to have to worry about getting beat by the Lord. He'll whoop on anybody. That's not a problem. Yes. Not Lazarus. The rich man, because he wasn't saved. He wasn't justified by God through faith. Yes. Not to the body. We're going to be judged by our works while you were in the body. So just while you and I are present right now, while we are alive right now in this flesh, what you're doing for the Lord, that's what the Lord's going to judge on the judgment seat of Christ, whether it be good or bad. Because there's going to be good and there's going to be bad, man. All right. All right. Verse 11, Paul says, knowing therefore now, okay? So notice how Paul and the other scriptures, how he will say, know ye not? Know ye not? Now Paul is saying, knowing therefore, the what, guys? Can you read that with me? The terror of the Lord. Oh, but he's so good and he's so amazing. I'm just crying on my knees at my mega church music with fog machines. And man, Paul says, to think about that day that he's going to stand before him and give an account, it's going to be a terrible thing. It's going to be so scary. To every secret thing you've done, every little intention, be it good or bad, you're going to be like, Lord, yep, I'm ashamed, Lord. Yes, Lord, that was, I know, Lord. Oh, see, that was good. Lord, man, that still outweighs that bad. It's like, at the end, you're just going to prostrate. You say, Lord, I'm here, though. I trusted your blood. Like, what are we going to get? You know, like a little pebble, a little rock. I don't know. Maybe a little bead, a little BB. I'll just get a little BB-sized reward, Lord. I'll be good. If the Lord wants me to be a custodian, I'll be sweeping up there. I don't care where. I made it. Hey, man, that's what it is. We persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. One day, the judgment seat of Christ for believers. Romans chapter 14. Romans, the 14th chapter. We know that 2 Corinthians 5 talks about every one of us having to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Can I back it up? A lot of Christians are going to argue, well, it's just there in that one time. Well, how many times, fool, do you need God to say something in order for it to be true? One time. But because he's so cool, he'll give you here a little, there a little, he'll affirm a thing. Romans 14, verse 1, the Bible says, him that is weak in the faith, receive you. So yes, people grow at different stages in their Christian walk. You may know a little bit more about the Bible than the other individual. That's okay. Receive them. But not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received them. So obviously the context, foods. We're not going to judge each other based upon what you eat, okay? We're going to focus on doctrine. It's not a big deal, all right? Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. You see that? I like how God gives it up to you to decide for yourself. How are you going to honor that day for the Lord? You're going to make Sunday special? I do. I personally like to make Sunday available. I'll tell my wife, it's for fellowship. We're not going to do nothing so we can fellowship with our brethren, study the Bible, get together for food and dinner. But that's me. See that? Like, Sunday is special to me. You may like to do some other days. You may like it all the time. It's between you and the Lord. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and God, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Okay, that's who you are. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Are you ready? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now look at this next part. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. The Holy Ghost in Romans 14 quotes a scripture out of Isaiah and makes it applicable to you as a New Testament Christian. He says that you're going to be on your knees and you're going to be confessing to God. So then every one of us, are you ready now? Shall give account of what? The other person. No. My parents, God, I mean, you know, they were so bad. No. But the government, God, you know, they persecuted me. No. What does it say? You're going to give an account. I'm going to give an account of myself. Yourself. To God. Judgment seat of Christ. Paul, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. You know, it's hard for us to confess to each other while we're in the flesh. When you make a mistake or you sin against somebody, it's hard for you and I to say, I'm sorry, this is what I've done, would you forgive me? Because guilt, adrenaline kicks in. Imagine God. Imagine on your knees giving an account to God. Your boss says, all right, give me a summary of improvements. What did you do? How did you account for this? How did you account for that? I'm telling you, man, when you think about you and God, it's going to be a terrible thing. It's going to be scary. Christian, get right with the Lord, every one of us. So yes, we have forgiveness of sins. We have an inheritance. But that inheritance could be affected by the way you live. If you allow the Bible to instruct you and you believe it, you will prosper. Hence, you will no longer live like that. And it meant, anybody know what I'm talking about? You'll repent. You'll say, man, I'm going to stop doing that. It doesn't matter. Even right now, you can repent of something and you can start doing right in God's sight. And before you know it, the Lord begins to take note up there, and that could possibly outweigh the negative, hopefully, right? I don't know how the Lord's going to do that. I'm just saying I'm going to strive to do a lot better than my bad. Amen? I know I've done bad up to this point. Whatever you've done is up to this point. Strive to do what he's telling you now, and hopefully that'll outweigh the bad, because we're going to be judged, be it good or bad. I need to do as much good as I can. Amen? Praise the Lord. The third thing we have is comfort from God. So let's kind of lighten it up a little bit, I know. Oh, man, judgment seat, I know. Lighten it up. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I shared this with a brother earlier this week, and that was a blessing. We were talking about testimony and how do we use our personal experience as a Christian about God helping us through life and helping others. Just know that God wants to use you for that as well. 2 Corinthians 1:3, the Bible says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. So he is merciful, and he is able to comfort you and I today. Praise the Lord for that. The Father, verse 4, comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. How about that? A blessing about being a Christian is you have the comfort of God personally. God comforts you personally. He shows you mercy personally. That's a blessing about being a Christian, is that I'm not alone. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He will never leave you nor forsake you if you're a Christian. Husband goes away for work. Wife goes away to visit family. You're in the workplace. You're separate from your children. One day they're going to grow up and they may obey you or disobey you. They may say, you know what? I'm going to do my thing. Who knows? But you know what? You have a comfort, and that's from the Father. Praise God. Amen. That's a blessing. Another blessing we have, point number 4, is we have a ministry to accomplish. I don't care if you're a girl or a guy here today. You don't have to be a pastor or to do what the Bible tells you to do. All of us have this ministry called the ministry of reconciliation. I would like to show you an example from Paul himself in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians 2, starting at verse 12. Paul says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach the Baptist gospel, to preach the Pentecostal gospel, to preach Christ's gospel. That's whose gospel it is, amen? It's not about me, it's not about you, it's not about our church. Who is it about? Jesus. And a door was open unto me of the Lord. Now, how about that? Let's just say, if I were to go wayward on this and say, could it be that doors open for you as you go? What about if you don't go? Is the Lord really going to open a door for you to do something great for him? I'm just telling you, I like that pattern. If I'm going to go into the world and preach the gospel, the Lord will open doors for me to get to places that he wants to use me for, and possibly you. Don't doubt yourself. Don't stay at home all the time. Do something cool for Jesus, because one day you're going to have to give an account. You're old and you may say, I can't do much, I can't walk much, but you know what? You can pray. You can call somebody. You can give, and then you know what? We can use those finances to support missionaries. All I know is that the Lord opened it up for Paul. Could he open it up for you? He says here, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. That's another blessing. And maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Who takes God with them everywhere they go? You. And you've heard it said that sometimes you may be the only Bible people read. I know what they're saying. I understand that. But the principle is right there. God wants to make himself known through you. Not your phone. Not your social media platform. Through you. Your life. Your mouth. If you're deaf, you can't hear. Sign language, that thing, man. Preached gospel. I saw a girl do it, praise the Lord, on YouTube. She was deaf and she loves Jesus. She's saved. Her father also, they were sharing God's faith, bless you. But it's by you. Now in my new workplace, I let them all straight up know. Even my owner, I'm a brother in Christ. I love Jesus. I'm thankful. I talk about God every day. While they're cursing and vulgarity, I love them where they're at, but I'm making the knowledge of God known. Have my Bible out there every day, sharing that gospel. For we are unto God now a sweet savor of Christ. How about that? The Father in heaven on the throne, he is pleased by your life as a sweet savor of Christ. Yes, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God speak we in Christ. Ministry. We've been given a task by God to do for him to make his knowledge known in all places. 2 Corinthians 5. Go down to verse number 12 in 2 Corinthians 5. The same place where we saw the judgment seat of Christ, the terror of the Lord. Are you ready now? The Bible says here in 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to the pastor, the deacon, to the man, us, the ministry of reconciliation. Just like God sent Jesus into the world to save you, God and Jesus are sending us into this world so that others could be saved. That's the ministry he's tasked you with. To it, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Praise God. You say, brother, I don't know what the will of God is for my life and this and that. His will for your life is to preach the gospel everywhere you go. If you're an employee, work hard. You're going to read that in Colossians and Ephesians. You're married, you got doctrine for you. You're single, you got doctrine for you. I mean, there's doctrine for everybody in this book. It's only going to instruct you if you believe it, though. Remember that. That's the foundation. Walk by faith, not by sight. So before we close, one last thing to encourage you. Just go back one chapter to the left, 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. The Bible says in verse number 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, read this carefully. You get saved. You hear about Jesus. God's Spirit provokes your heart. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Receive Jesus. You know you need God's forgiveness. All right, Lord, please forgive me. I don't care what your experience was, if you cried or you didn't, it doesn't matter. You trusted the gospel, you're saved. Praise the Lord. You're here today. You repent, right? You're saying, Lord, I'm not going to live like that anymore. So now as you go out into the world and you start doing what the Lord tells you to do as a husband, as a wife, and all that, and you start sharing Christ, if the gospel is not received by the people you share with, you know what that Bible says? It's because they're lost. But why? Verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. They are not pre-programmed. They're not preordained. God just says they don't believe. And until they stop not believing, they are allowing Satan, who is the power of darkness of which all are under without becoming a born-again Christian, Bible says he's allowing them, or they are allowing him to blind their minds. Are you ready now? Look at this. Lest the light, what do we talk about that light? The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's why you're saved. That's why you're here. Because the power of God is so powerful that as soon as you had a heart of faith to trust in Jesus, to call on his name, that Father up there in heaven commanded that light to shine. Save that soul. Save you. Save me. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. That's what we try to do at our church, right? Go downtown, go door knocking. Our families, we let them know, hey, we're here to let you know about Jesus, what he did for you. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. That's where it starts, the heart. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Can you somehow, some way, access or receive the knowledge of God outside of Jesus? No. Can I get it through Muhammad? No. Can I get it through the Pope? No. Can I get it through any other religious figure or figment of your imagination outside of the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. Only through Jesus Christ can you and I today receive all these blessings and the knowledge of God. And the last two verses, and we'll close in prayer. For which cause we faint not. So he said that earlier in the chapter. We faint not. We faint not. Because the light of the gospel, because the light which God commands, that light is able to save you. It's able to free you. It's able to give you knowledge. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, that thing is dying, the body, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. If you're saved today, you have a new woman, new man on the inside, the saved you, the real you, and then you still have that flesh, that old man, that old woman, that spirit that you received from Adam and Eve. That thing's dying. But the new man, the new woman is being renewed. Praise the Lord. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, Christian, I hope you're not, like Paul said, don't allow yourself to be so caught up on this physical, what you can see, tangible, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So before we close, what do we wrap it up? Bible's good. It's inspired. It's God's word. We know that if you receive it as his truth, it'll work in your life. When you allow it to work in your life, it'll instruct you. It'll correct you. It'll renew you. It'll build you up in your inheritance. It'll build you up in your knowledge. But if you reject God's word because you don't believe it's true, you don't believe it's his word, you're calling him a liar, it's not going to work in your life. You're going to live like the world. Your inheritance could be affected, and your relationship with God will be hindered. Because either A, we're walking by faith, or we're walking by sight. I'm either going to walk by what I see and feel, or I'm going to walk by that which I can't see, my spiritual truths of what I possess forever, because I see it through the book. It's kind of an anomaly. It's like, yeah, I don't walk by sight. I read the Bible, and it tells me about things I can't see. And it says, trust that. Isn't that weird? But it's true. It is. So, Christian, be encouraged. This is not where it ends. This is not what it's all about. It's about heaven. It's about being with your Savior and fellowshipping with fellow people on the earth, human beings, creatures that were created by God to have an eternal relationship with him. One day, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sickness, no more aging, no more decaying, no more dying, no more backstabbing, no more pride, no more anger, but peace. Because God says he's going to wipe away your tears. I'm looking forward to that. Amen. So maybe it is while I'm on the knees confessing to God, oh, I'm so sorry, Jesus. I did not mean to live like that while I wasted all my time on that earth, Lord. I'm so sorry. He's going to lift me up and say, son, don't worry. Let me wipe those tears away. I still love you. I'm going to say, oh, Lord, thank you. Now, there's the broom, son. Go ahead and start. I'm like, yes, sir. Let me get it. I don't know. But it could be, right, that he wipes away our tears. I mean, it could be. He'll wipe away those tears because a lot of us will be so sad and ashamed. But because of the loving Savior he is, he's going to lift you right back up. He's going to love you. And rejoice that you're there. Amen. So let's work for Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for this message. I pray, Lord, that it'll first start with me. Help me to first live out what I preach and what I teach and what I read. Help my friends here tonight, Lord, to remain faithful to you. Not to our church, even though we would really love them. We really enjoy seeing folks come. But, Lord, most importantly to you, Lord. Because if they love you first and they're obedient to you, Lord, they'll do what you say, Lord. It's real simple. Help us, God, to live it Help our marriages, help the husbands, help the wives to do what that book tells us to do. Help the children here to grow in love with their parents, Lord, and honoring them. And help all of us, Lord, to remain faithful to the work of ministry you've given us, whether it's at our home, online, workplace, every place we go. We want your knowledge to be made known, because like that Bible says, it's a sweet savor. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. We thank you for your book. We thank you for tonight in Jesus' name. What do we all say, church? Amen. The Lord bless you. Have a great night. Amen. It's good to see you. See you guys Sunday.